I was really busy, didn't really check my account because I was flying back and forth. Then I remember on Friday, 2 weeks later, after earnings, checking my account on the 25th, and the price had moved like over 100%.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey It Happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop, home of the Bandit Traders podcast. Last week, we listened in on Cam walking Joel through the five rules he uses to find high probability trades. And today, we're going to eavesdrop in on their practical session when they take the next step and walk through some examples. They look at HWM, GE, Tesla, and CAT. Cam and Joel go chart by chart, breaking down real historical setups and walking through how to identify entries, where to place risk, when to add to positions, and how trades actually develop over time. As you can imagine, this episode is going to be very visual, so it's best to watch this on Spotify or YouTube so you can follow along with the screen share. And if you want to see these setups as they're happening live, you can check out Cam's teaching Discord, where he shares charts, alerts, and trade breakdowns daily. Link to join will be in the show notes. All right, I will shut up and get out of the way so you can get to learning.
So last time we talked through just kind of the five rules that, you know, a little bit of detail, like what they are, how to use them, how to spot them. So I think this time we can go through and look at some more detailed chart examples. I'll pull some up that are kind of historic examples that I've traded, and I know how they work. And then Joel, you can go through and I'll try and leave them blank, as you can see, like, hey, how would you, what are you, where do you think everything should be?
Right.
So I'll pick like one or two and I'll go through just like fresh, like here's what they are. And then if you have any on your mind that you want to pull up and go through, like charts that you have questions about, yeah, we can do that. And then we can get into, okay, now that we've charted some, let's get into like actually how these would play out. So like kind of what the life cycle would be, where would the entry be? How would you automate it? How would you manage it? Kind of an idea of where exits would be. And then with that, I think something is important to note is when it comes to exits and management is understanding the market condition. I think that's very important because how the market is responding or how the market is behaving at the time should very much influence kind of how aggressive you are with your profit taking, right? So like right now when we're recording this, you know, March 2026, you know, a war with Iran, market's been kind of shit pretty much all month. So you have to be more aggressive with your profits. But if, you know, we were in a situation where we had, you know, low interest rates and we just crossed back above the 200 day and, you know, earnings were good and, you know, everything was good. It was in a nice strong market. You manage that trade very differently. And that's a big part of being a trader is kind of knowing, hey, when it's time to be cautious and careful and you still trade, but you just, you know, your risk management goes up a notch. And then when are there times where it's like, hey, the market is good, the sun is shining, right? Like it's time to make hay and time to put your foot on the gas. And maybe in those situations, you let things run a little more. You're not quite so quick to take your profits and maybe you even size up a little bit. So I think we can get into that if that sounds good for you.
Yeah, that's perfect. I have one example that I'll bring up whenever we're going through it. So
first one, we'll go to HWM. So this is Howmet Aerospace. This, I think, is a good spot right here. So we're going to look at end of 2022. So a couple of levels here, but I'll kind of walk through this. And then there's another one further up we can look at, and I'll see what you would think about it.
Okay.
So typically when I'm looking at charts, this is all I have. So I have the 200-day, I'm on the daily time frame. Okay. I'm using TradingView, by the way. On the daily time frame, all I look at is volume and the 200-day moving average. Okay. So I'm not using RSI, any of that. Okay. Right. Like my rules don't require anything else. Okay. Because, you know, literally 100 years ago, 1920s, this is what people were using to trade the market. They were just literally using price and volume. And they were successful back then, kind of building out a lot of the systems that we still use today. So
yeah,
with this, the first thing I notice is when I'm looking for a trade, so I look, you know, what is the orientation to the 200-day moving average, right? So we see here in 2022, right, like prices, you know, it's above the 200-day, it's touching it. It can't really break out. It can't really get any higher. Okay, so I'd pay attention to that level. Right, like it's a 1, 2, 3. So this is price resistance. Like price isn't able to get above this level. That's something to pay attention to. It goes back below the 200, gets back above it, and rejects it. But then right here, this catches my attention in October. And so why is that? This is a higher low, right? Like, so it's not doing this like big back and forth where it was here, where it was just like above, below, ping ponging. It starts to consolidate a little bit. Right. So the bounce is higher. And then notably, so we have one low here. Let's move this level. So we have one low here and we have a lower high here. And then we have a higher low. Okay. And so the important thing about this lower high is it occurs between two higher lows. So that's essentially like a green light. When you start having the price compress, now it's a sign that, hey, this ping pong motion, somebody has stepped in and is starting to take control, and maybe they're starting to try and guide it up. So from here, we have a level of price support around $30, $30.21. Now we have a higher low, and then there's our lower high. Okay, cool. So those are kind of the first things we're looking for: price support, lower highs, higher lows. Obviously, there's a 200-day, and so it's below it.
Right.
That means it's a reversal. Okay, so automatically you're sizing down because you're not going to have all five rules being met if you take an entry below the 200-day. So just know that ahead of time, it's a reversal. I have some other rules that we can go over later about like specifically how I treat reversals. And I have some rules around like how many I take. I never take more than two in my portfolio. So if I have 20 trades, I never have more than two reversals. Because in general, we want to be trading strength. We want to be trading things that are not reversals. We want to be trading things that have already broken out and they're up like, you know, 100% for the year. So quick note there. Then, so we look for our lower highs. That's where we put our trend line. So here's a high, here's a lower high, here's a lower high, and here's a lower high. So ideally, you'd connect all of those in one trend line, one trend line. You can't, right? This one falls off of it. That's fine.
Yeah.
We get a nice clean trend line. So.
Perfect.
Yep. So yeah, in a perfect world, this lower high, the one that you would use as your entry, touches the diagonal, but it doesn't have to. That's fine.
Right.
And then look at that. You connect these lower highs, and where does it happen? Right there at the 200-day. That's why I wanted to pull up this chart. That's perfect because you have a break of your higher high right here. And on the same day, it crosses the trend line and touches the 200-day moving average. This is ideal because you get everything happening in one day. Everything happening at once. So this would be my potential entry right here on this day, 19 October, because you get a close over this higher high.
Yeah.
It touches the diagonal. Okay, that's fine. Your entry is here. Your entry is a confirmation of the trend. We now have a higher high and a higher low that is confirmed. So you could take your entry here, and then you'd be entering is with three of the five criteria, right? Like you haven't broken the trend line yet. and you haven't broken the 200 day. So 3 of 5 criteria, that's a 3% trade, or sorry, 3% position size. And then if you just waited literally 2 days, 21 October, now it's rips and everything looks good. So,
and then you would, and then you would add the 2%.
Yeah, you would, if you wanted to. Yeah, if you wanted to. I mean, that's kind of a big day there, right? It goes from 33 to 35. So that's a 10% day.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you would take the entry basically on the 200 cross. Okay. And so, yeah, kind of a, you know, how you would play this in reality.
Yep.
I would basically, I would have an alert set here on the 200 day and I would have orders sitting, you know, the 200 day is call it $34. I'd have orders sitting at 3402, 3404, 3406. Okay.
Right.
And I just, they get filled during the day and I would have an alert set, you know, sent to my phone, and that's where my alerts go. My alerts come to my phone. And so when I get the alert, you know, I'd pull up the trade, check it real quick and say, oh, okay, what is it? Cool. Where is it? And then I would instantly go ahead and set an alert for the low of day, because your entry criteria is, okay, once this breaks, you're good. Unless it makes a new low. So, and think about that for a second, right? Like if you have a trade and you enter it and there's momentum and it's breaking out, but then at some point in the day, it reverses and makes a new low. Like it's no good. It's no longer a good trade, right? Like it has reversed and lost all its momentum. And at that point you're fuck it out. You're done.
Right. That trade is over. So, you don't have the 200 day cross yet, and you don't have the trend line cross yet. You've got a higher low. So that's one is the higher low. You've got now a higher high, which is the second one because it's breaking out. And the third one.
Price support. So it's down here.
So the price support is within range or within reach.
Yeah. And again, in a really great trade, and I've got one. I've got a good one. We'll look at here in just a minute. I mean, the price support and the higher lows and the lower highs, like they're all in a really, really tight range because those are your potential stops, right? Like all of these are stops, right? And you want them to be as close to your entry as possible. That way your potential risk is, you know, 0.5% or 1%. Like you don't want your potential risk to be a 10% difference between where you enter and where you would stop out, because that means you have to size down. Like you want that entry, you want the difference between where you enter and where you would stop out to be as small as possible. I mean, like if you can get it to be 15 cents, right? Like a TMC, I entered that last year and my risk was like literally 7 cents. Like it was a $30 stock and my risk was 7 cents. And it didn't, so in that case, it doesn't even have to move that much, right? Like if your entry is literally 7 cents and the stock moves, you know, 50 cents, I mean, that's, you know, that's a 5x on your risk right there. So like, it doesn't actually have to move that much. And so that's what you're looking for as a trader. So, but just because it doesn't happen, doesn't mean you can't take the trade. You just have to adjust your sizing to fit that. So,
and so that's why one of the criteria is price support, is because that price support has to be there in order to be your stop.
Yeah. Like that is your like worst case scenario. And then in this case, a higher low. Okay. So this would be a potential stop. And so that's a good thing to talk about here. So, kind of wrapping this trade up. Yep. So you would take your first entry here on, was it 19 October? Okay. When you take the entry until the day closes, your stop is low of day. Okay.
Okay.
If it closes and confirms, like it closes over your level and it confirms, okay, this was a true breakout. Now you can move your stop down to where it would have been originally. And it's down here 30, call it $31. So, and that would be how you base your risk. You're, when you enter the trade, you're assuming my risk is, my entry is going to be 33, let's call it 33.50 to $31. So basically you're assuming, you know, you're assuming this is where your entry is going to be and this is where your stop's going to be. And that's where you take your sizing. So that's, you know, $2.50, you know, figure out how many, what, you know, a 3% weight, you know, a 3% weight for your portfolio, risking $2.50 per share, how many shares do you need to buy to hit that 3% weight?
And so then that 3% at $2.50, that's 3% of your entire portfolio, or that's and that the risk is that, not so much the shares are 3%, but the risk is that.
Yeah. So if you had a $10,000 account, 3%, you know, you're risking approximately $300.
Yeah.
Right. And so then, okay, how many shares can you buy with $300? Right. So in this stock, this stock would be about 10 shares.
Yep.
Okay. So yep. That's what your risk would be. Okay.
Okay.
And that can work the same, that can work the same for options too. You can get into that in another video, but you can apply the same principle to options. It's just a little tweak to it. So,
sure.
But yeah, that's how we do HWM. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Okay. And then you could also, if you wanted to add, you could add on a retest. Do you ever do that? Retest?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to held it, right?
Yeah. And so, yeah, on this one, this would be a good example of it. So HWM, and this is common with 200-day clears. So, okay. you could take your entry here. You'd add your second and go to full size, call it at $34 when it crosses the 200-day. It moves up for a few days, and then it comes back and tags it intraday. So, yeah, basically you would have maybe some more buy orders down here. Let's say you didn't get a complete fill, right? Because if it's really ripping, it might leave without you, right? You might have some orders sitting here, and it's just going so fast that your shit just never gets filled. Mm-hmm. So then, if it comes back, add some more. Add some shares. Don't increase your size, right? Stick to your 5% rule.
Right.
But, say it comes back, add to it. And you can fair absolutely enough. Do that. Yeah, if you get missed. And, in this case, that was earnings. So, quick disclaimer on earnings. I don't like taking a new position within 10 days of earnings. So this one just squeaks out that criteria of taking an entry before that 10-day window. That's just me. Over the years, I've learned price action. When you get really close to earnings, you can't trust it because sometimes, right, traders will pump the stock. They'll drive the price up. And then on earnings, even if you have good earnings and good guidance, it'll dump. And it's just all the traders leaving it, right? It's just all the traders bagging you, dumping their shares, dumping their options. And then so, you see earnings and it's a good reaction. It's a good earnings call. Company has good news, but the stock sells off and you're like, oh shit, this was terrible. And you sell your stuff. And then what happens the very next day? It rips because all the traders are out and all the volume, all the IV collapses, and then it goes. And so you ended up making no money unless you're going to specifically play earnings. And I have a strategy for that. I usually just give earnings a few days ahead of it and a few days after, just let everything calm down. And usually, if it's a good setup, a good name, you can get an entry ahead of time. And then after earnings, you can get another one later. So
fair enough.
So I'll keep the same thing and let's look right here. So actually a few earnings cycles later. So same name, HWM. Do you see a potential entry on this chart? So when we're looking at here, basically a year later, 2023.
So
what would you see here?
I see there's an obvious trend line there. It's flirting the 200-day.
Yep.
So you'd be all right there. It looks like there's price support from that low on the left, but that might be a little bit lower. It'll be June there, right there. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, we could say that. Yeah, So price support, we want three touches from above and one from below. So yeah, 1, 2, 3, and then a little bit from below. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. And then you've got the trend line. I can't show you. I can't draw it, but
yeah,
it's a pretty obvious one there for a trend line.
I'd put it right here.
Okay, then that's not as obvious as I thought.
But you were looking maybe right here.
Yes, yeah, sir. Yep.
Yeah. So, but see, the thing is, you ignored these candles. You can't do that.
Okay. So you have to go.
Yeah. From that. Yeah. You want to go to the most recent highest high and start your trend line. So now this is a trend line. And in this case, it did work. But the best ones, you can't exclude data, right? Okay. Just because it doesn't fit what you see doesn't mean you throw it out. That would be where you have to, and look, it lines up right there with the earnings candle. So that would be my trend line.
Which makes it easy because then that becomes your high or low.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up and comes down. So your high or low is there.
Yep.
And your high or high.
Right there.
Wait, so that candle that breaks that wick, that's your entry.
Right there.
Yeah. So whatever day that would be, like November
13th. Yeah. 13 November. Yep.
Okay.
So this would be our price support. And it's kind of far. It's way down here, but it's here.
Right.
And honestly, you know what? Honestly, use this as price support. Here, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's your price support. That also is a higher low. Okay. So they can happen at the same place. They don't have to be different. In this case, they happen at the same low. So, okay, we get a good compression of our risk. Here's a 200-day. We're above it. Cool. That works. Yeah. Then this is also a gap. That works really well when your price support is sitting on top of a gap. Because, right. I mean, if price goes down in that gap, like, you have to cut it because you don't know what's sitting down here, right? Like, it could be 10 million sell orders down here. We have no clue. That's why when price falls into a gap, you have to cut it. But when price goes into a gap, you kind of want to hold because you're thinking, okay, well, maybe now it's going to the upside. So maybe there's a lot of buy orders. So
I always looked at it as like the buyers are going to try and hold that gap open. And if they can't hold the gap open, it's going to get filled.
Yeah, it will get filled. Yeah, they can't hold it. It's a vacuum. So either way, so if you're above it, it's going to pull you down. If you're below it, it's going to pull you up.
Right.
So, but yeah. So there you go. Yeah, that'd be your price support, higher lows, trend line break. So your entry would be right here at, what is that, 49.50? That's where you'd have your order sitting. And your stop would be the top of the gap. So 47.50, a bit, you know, about $2.
Right. And you've got the higher high. You've got a higher low. You've got a trend line break and you're above the 200 day. So this, you could do a full 5%.
Full 5% right here. Yep.
Yes, sir.
There you go. And then, you know, confirmation bias, right? Like of course this trade worked out. Look at the chart. But I mean, you know, you didn't know that, right? Like when you took the trade, this is what you saw. And then the other piece to pull out, to point out there, and this is like, it's not one of my rules because it's not, you don't have to have it.
Okay.
But here, volume.
Yes.
On the break, you see volume. That's like gas. That is adding fuel to the fire. When you have a trade, if you take an entry and then you come back, let's say, you know, you automate this, you're at work, you know, this is a potential trade, you know, it hits 49.50, you take your orders. Cool. You check back at the end of the day. If you see volume like this day, 10 November, happy birthday, United States Marine Corps. If you see volume like on that day, I might cut the trade. Like I might not hold that. Because that's not a good sign. But then you actually look at the break and you see a good buy volume candle that's higher than the last like 5 or 6 trading days, definitely higher than the average over the last couple of months.
Right.
You're good to go. That is, okay, yes, you picked the right trade. Somebody or somebodies are pouring into this and supporting you. So that's confirmation. That's just like icing on the cake. You don't have to reject the trade, but you know, let's say you've got a portfolio, right? And you've already got 10 trades on the books. They're working, right? Like you're at, you know, 70% allocation or something. And you get one come in and it's got this like low volume. You know what? Maybe I'll wait. Like maybe this isn't that great of a trade. But you see the volume come in and it's like, oh no, somebody else agreed. The volume is the market confirming what your thesis is. So if that makes sense.
It makes total sense. Yep. That's cool. That's a good one. Actually, that's an awesome one.
Cool. So let's look at GE. And I'm going to pull this off before we get there. Cool. So you saw kind of where the levels are, but it should be GE. I think this is a pretty obvious one here. Let's look right at the end of 2025, right?
Yep.
Right. Like, so you can see here. So where would you put... So here's I kind of give you a snowball or a softball here. So here's your price support.
Right? It's like October 15th, October
8th. Yeah.
October 15th is the start of the trend line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Up there. And yep. That'd be your high. Yep.
Yep. And price support, it looks like there is one at like 170-ish. You got one there at 158. Somewhere there.
You can see.
It's easier with the line. Yeah.
So is that what would you say? Is that price support or not? Is that a good one or no?
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I agree. Because you only have one interaction from above.
Yeah.
And then this is kind of muddy. This isn't clean.
Exactly. I don't care for it.
Yep, I agree. So that's a level. That's one to pay attention to.
But it's like not necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. If it's not obvious, it's not there.
If we come there, then there's the 3 or 4 interactions on the left, and then it does test it on the right.
Mm. Okay. What level was that again?
It'd be like 165-ish.
165. Yeah. That's somewhere in there. 165. Yeah, we've got some. Yeah, so you got some from below. MI could move it. That's good enough. Yeah. That's close enough. And then, yeah, we get some. That's better. I agree. Yeah. That's better.
And then is there one at 175? So right in the middle there.
Three from above, kind of. That's more of a zone. It's not a clear level. It's more of a zone, right? Like it's kind of this area. It's not precise, but like this area.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's how you have to look at it. Like sometimes it's not really tight.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just kind of, it's more of a range of like, you know, $1, $1.50. That's okay. That works.
Okay.
You just have to, you know, if you're playing from the upside, you play the bottom of the zone. If you're playing from the downside, you play the top of the zone. Just to, you always want to, you know, round your risk up, right? Like if your risk is, you know, $1.78, just round it to $2, right? Like, I mean, you're taking profits, right? Like if you're looking to take profit at like $200, I'd take profit at like $199. Like just be conservative.
Fair enough.
So trend line.
The trend line is there from there and then catch that next. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So right around in here. That day there kind of fits it.
If you just make that line just a little bit thicker.
Yeah, if you make it thick enough, you catch all of them.
Exactly.
When it comes to trend lines, so one, you want to see wicks. Like body closes. So like right here, 27 mm-hmm. November, it's hard to use a body close because that doesn't give you any real extra information. A wick. So if you look at like this day here, 21 January, there's information in this candle. So it says, you know, price opened at 183. At one point it got pushed all the way up to 188, but then it closed down here. So at some point in the day, this level got rejected pretty strongly. Yeah. I mean, that wick is 40% of the size of the candle. So that's a strong reaction there. There's other information that you can impute from this candle. Whereas if it just closes at that level, or in this case, it opens at the level and is pretty much straight down. Like all you can tell from that is like it opened here and it was straight down.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's nothing really, there's no other kind of color in that candle. No pun intended, because I have no color in any of my candles.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so wicks are typically better to use than body closes or body opens. So, but yeah, don't try and make it fit either, right? So like, look, we connected this wick here. That was a high. This was a lower high. Like here was one, you know, 11 November.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was, but don't try and adjust. Like it's okay. Don't try and skew what you're drawing to fit the chart. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. Okay.
Right.
It's, you know, you get the gist, you get the point. And then I would add a level here when you get a cluster of wicks. Like anytime you see a cluster of like at least 3 days, but if you get like 3, 4, 5 days where like price just can't, like it's interacting with a level several days in a row, you need to chart that. That's important. Something was happening there. And then, look, and I can tell you what's going on here. It's the first trading week of the year. So like that's just opening year price action.
And it doesn't necessarily fit the level criteria of three interactions from one side and one from the other. You could probably make it do that, but it's an important level nonetheless.
Yeah, it's an important level to be aware of. And in this case, that happens to be where your entry criteria would be, because this is your lowest lower high. This would be the mark where when it breaks that, now you confirm the trend and you have higher highs.
Right.
So it just happens that worked out because, so here would be...
There's your low and then a higher low, and then
higher low.
And you know that that's going to be a higher low because the way that it closes and the next candle opens.
Yep. It closes here and specifically it closes and it respected that 200 day. It was above it. It came down, didn't test it to the penny, but tested it. It held. The next day we open, you get a higher high. So yes, that was indeed a higher low.
Right. And so then you've got
there's your higher low.
There's your direction or your trend line break.
Yep.
You've got price support or resistance that's breaking. You've got a 200 day.
Yep.
So this again would be a full 5% because
right here.
All, criteria are met and you're entering on 14, is it 14?
Yeah. 14 January. Yep.
Yeah.
I did take this trade.
You did take this one. Perfect.
Yep.
And so then that one, your stop is low of the day, which is like 171 something, 171 and a half.
Yeah. Until it closes. Yeah. And then when it closes, it's the 200 day. Just use the 200. It's right there.
Yeah.
Yep. And then it runs and there you go. So, and in this case, like, you know, look, you know, so it runs. Does it run forever? No, it doesn't. But yeah, I took this trade. I was already in GE at this point. I had been in since 2022. So I'd been in for almost 2.5 years at this point. I added back to the position because it briefly lost the 200 day right here. I didn't stop out because I was using this level. It held that level. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll let it ride. I added back to the position. It broke. And then it lost the 200 again, kept that same level. It ended up running a little more. But, you know, say you didn't take that. You just took this trade. Yeah, you would have taken profits right here, 182, because this is a higher high.
Okay.
Maybe some right here.
That's where you take them.
Yeah. So, yeah, in the initial setup, right, like when you're just playing this, your profit target. So here's your entry. Your profit targets, they'd be probably right here. 181, let's make these green. 181 would be a profit target.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really close, 183. So I'd maybe go up here, another high, call it 186. And importantly, that's the bottom of a gap. So this is the bottom of a gap to be filled. Very often when price is trying to close a gap, it gets some resistance at the bottom. So when it's just starting to approach it, it could hit some resistance. And if it's going to reverse, the bottom of a gap is a very high probability spot where it could reverse. So you got to make sure you take profit here. And then I would move my stop up. So move your stop from the 200 day, at least above break even, like you at least put it above break even. That way, in case it does reverse, you get stopped out of the trade, but like, hey, you made money, right? Like you made some money.
Exactly.
And then my last profit before I got down to runners, it'd be the top of the pattern. So where did you start your trend line? 193, right? So we entered at 172. We were playing to 193. You know, that's like 18%, 17, 18%.
Say in this case, it was a matter of only a few days.
Yeah. Only a few days. Yeah. A couple of weeks. And then, you know, so at, you know, 17, 18%, when you get to the top of the pattern, you want to be down to runners. So for me, that's always 25%. That is my runner size. So if I take 100 shares down here, I want to be down to 25 here. And then at these, once they get to runners, I leave my stop at break even. So I may actually lower my stop once we get to runners. I'll actually lower it. So on the way up, I'm chasing it as we're in the trade, chasing. Once it gets to that top of the pattern, okay, cool. Short-term trade is done. Now we're in for the long haul. So I'll let my stop actually go back to break even because I want to see, will this thing go? Will it run for a long time? And this is why I bring up GE, because my initial entry on GE was down here, 2022.
Okay.
And I left my runners at break even and it has never touched. It never came back. And so eventually, like once, you know, once it does start running, and this is kind of my rule, once the 200 day gets above. So let's zoom in and look at this. So here was my initial entry on GE. Here was the big pattern. Once the 200 day, like once the trade goes and the 200 day gets above the top of that original pattern, okay, now I'm just chasing the 200 day. Now I'm just letting this go.
Okay.
And you can see like it goes, you know, it went for years. And I ended up stopping out like middle of last year. But yeah, it was a, you know, three and a half year trade. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a whole bunch of like 2 or 3 week trades. I'm looking for like one or two of these bad boys, like where you can just sit in it and let it go for months. That's kind of what I'm looking. I'm not looking to make 100 trades a month. Honestly, I don't even want to take 100 trades a year, right? Like, you know, for me, maybe 1-2 trades a week, right? Like, you know, 7 or 8 a month, that's a good year. Right. Like you want to be strict and take less trades, not more. So yeah, here was the initial GE entry. I'll go through it really quickly. So there was our price support down here.
Yeah.
Or actually that was, that's price support. Yeah, there it is.
Yep.
One from below, 2, 3. Okay, we got a higher, here's our higher lows here.
Mm-hmm.
There's the diagonal. It was below the 200, so didn't take full size.
Right.
Took initial entry on the trend line break, got to the 200 day, rejected. And then right here, 4 November, 5 November, add a little more size. And my stop becomes right here because like initial stop was down here. Once you add size, kind of my like average entry price is up in this area.
Right.
So then there becomes my stop. And lo and behold, it moves up, it runs a little bit, comes back, test the 200 day. And then we're off and running. And this was occurring about the same time that we got good inflation data and the market, the Federal Reserve was going to start lowering interest rates. So pretty much the whole market looked like this in 2022. So like everything was breaking here. I remember it was Halloween. It was like right, I think it was like the day before Halloween in 2022 when we got good inflation data and the market just fucking ripped. So like everything, Microsoft, Apple, Tesla, everything has pretty much the same chart this year.
Right.
It looks good. Any questions there? Anything you want to walk through?
No, that's, you didn't know it at the time, but it actually became a textbook trade.
Yeah. And that's part of it is like, that's what I'm looking for, right? Like when you're looking for setups, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for shit where it's like, wow, that is really clean.
Yeah.
Right. And when you find those, like you've got to watch them. It doesn't mean they'll always play out. This past week, we had a trade that we were watching in the room fly. Like I talked about it. I was like, everything is there. It meets literally every single criteria that we want to meet. And it never happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't mean that they're going to happen, but you have to watch them and have a plan. I mean, I had the orders queued up. Like I had options orders. I had shares sitting there. Like it was on my side screen. I had alerts to make sure I didn't miss it. And it just never happened.
But the cool part is that you've got enough checks and balances in place where when that did happen, you weren't in the trade.
Yeah.
The checks and balances said it's no trade.
Yep.
It was pretty cool to watch, actually.
So,
ready to nerd out on the tech shaping tomorrow? Voices of Blockchain, the official podcast of Boston Blockchain Week 2025, is back for season 2. We're featuring pioneers rocking Web3, AI, and blockchain innovation. So get the scoop on the people powering the next wave of innovation by subscribing now wherever you get your podcasts. And join us for the fun in September at bostonblockchainweek.com for the killer talks, epic vibes, and top-tier networking. And if you happen to run into me or my wife, come see us because we probably have unused drink tickets. Eric, why should people listen to season 2?
I'm really excited for season 2 because what's interesting is that we talked about the founding of America. You know, we set that foundation. And now we're going to watch America try and build a house that will become divided and burned down.
And, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly.
Yeah, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly. It's going to end with the nation ripping itself apart, the founding of the best Virginia, and, you know, the suspending of habeas corpus. about as broad as you get in. But what's going to be cool is what emerges from season 2 is the foundation for the world's largest, most advanced economy.
You visit the website, buckstartsherepodcast.com, to stay up to date. We'll see you all next week. Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances. So much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Looking for skincare that actually delivers transformative results? U-Beauty combines breakthrough science with simplicity. The multitasking resurfacing compound replaces multiple steps with one powerful yet balanced formula, designed to visibly brighten, smooth, and even skin, while helping minimize the look of pores, dark spots, and fine lines. And it's gentle enough for sensitive skin. Add their Super Hydrator for up to 48 hours of multi-level hydration that leaves skin looking plump, dewy, and glowing. Streamline your routine and see the difference for yourself. Shop now at ubeauty.com.
We have one. I'll actually tell you the day. I remember this trade. I know the day. Because this is the trade that changed my life. And so it's a good one to look at. Right here. So Tesla.
You bought Tesla for $18?
Actually, this was not the price at the time.
No, because it's been split.
It's split. Yeah, yeah. It was like, it was close to there. But yeah, this is where I got in. And I got in with a lot of options. A lot of options. So at the time, full disclosure, so this is 2019. I'm, you know, a couple of years out of grad school, like a year and a half out of grad school. I'm a consultant. I'm working on a project, flying from Florida to Boston every week. I didn't have all of the rules that I have now. Right. What I was using was higher highs, higher lows, and the 200 day. So I was watching this. I was watching these levels. What I was looking at was, okay, we have higher lows. We have higher lows, right? So price is kind of stair-stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have compression here. I'm not going to move that level because that level is important. So we have lower highs and higher lows. So price is like it's stepping up one way and stepping down, like it's clearly compressing. Clearly compressing. I took my entry. And so I wanted, so at the time, I wanted to see, okay, we have clearly higher lows and lower highs. I want to see that happen right around the 200 day. And so I had, okay, cool. We had higher, we had a higher high here on 14 October.
Yeah.
And on the same day, it closed above the 200 day. I remember sitting in a conference room at like 15 minutes before the market closed, pulled up my phone because like the speaker was late for the meeting, right? Like the person from the client side that we were waiting on was late. They were always fucking late. It was Johnson & Johnson where I was, by the way. So I pulled it up and it was like, okay, cool. It's crossing above the 200 day. It's had a really big day here, right? Like I'm going to take a position, right? And so, as you know, I took a 25% size on this thing because at the time I had, or I put 20% size because at the time I would do no more than four trades for my account. I'd leave 20% in cash and I'd do four 20% size trades. Because my account was smaller. So I was trying to get my account to grow.
Right.
And then for the next 2 weeks, I was actually really busy. I set an alert down here at the low of day because like, okay, that's my stop. I was really busy. Didn't really check my account because I was flying back and forth. Then I remember on Friday, 2 weeks later, after earnings, checking my account on the 25th. And the price had moved like over 100%. And my options had moved several 100%. So that was the trade. At the time, I was just going off of higher lows and lower highs. But with the rules I have now, here's our price support down here.
Yep.
Our lower highs. Here's the diagonal. So it breaks it. We could have actually taken an entry the day before on 11 October. Actually could have taken an entry there. And then you would have added full size here.
Mm-hmm.
My stop was down here. And then you mentioned earlier, like what if it comes back and retests the 200 day? or retest the level. That's exactly what Tesla did going into earnings. It came back, tested the level, held it. Tested the level, held it. Tested the level, held it. And then on earnings, this was when they announced they were profitable for the very first time. And they had launched the Model Y, which was to become the most popular selling car in the world.
Right.
Their small, midsize SUV. So,
yeah.
You know, before COVID hit, it had run up to a it became like a couple hundred dollar stock going into COVID. I was using the 200 day as my stop. I actually held this through the drop in COVID because it had run so fast.
And so had shares then? You had options and shares?
Yeah, I had options. I pulled options off going into the end of January. I didn't close them at the top. I pulled my options off like right here, end of January, because I was at Johnson & Johnson, and they were very concerned about COVID. They had a lot of data coming out of Asia because they have operations in Asia, and they were freaking out about COVID. So I was like, yeah, I'm up a lot. I've made a lot of money. I had made a couple hundred thousand dollars. I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and pull the options off and I'll leave the shares. And then we can chart COVID here really quickly too. So Wednesday I added, cause it bounced on the 200 day. And then the next week was when the Federal Reserve said, we'll support the market with basically anything that it needs.
Right.
They said unlimited money printing. And so there would be your trend line. But here, you could take an entry down here too. Cause look, here's your low. Here's a higher low. Here's a lower high.
Yeah.
So where would your entry have been? 9 April. Yeah, you'd be a little late.
That would have only been like 3 or 4% though.
Yeah.
Probably 4%, right? Because you're just missing that trend line break.
Yeah, you didn't have a trend line break, but you had everything else.
But you had everything else, so a 4%.
Yeah. 4%. Yep. But then, I mean, you know, this was when unlimited money printing was coming. And yeah, I mean, Tesla ended up going to, I think, like $4,800. It split. It ran back up to like $4,000, split again.
Yeah.
So, but again, that's the kind of trade I'm looking for. Something that happens right around the 200 day, right around this 200, and you get a really strong move. And then you can just ride the 200, right? Like, as long as price is above the 200 day, just let it go. And like, no, you're not going to catch a Tesla. Like, this is literally the best trade in the market in like the last 10 years.
Right.
Like, don't talk to me about NVIDIA. NVIDIA is cute. NVIDIA didn't run 1,000%. Tesla ran 1,000% in like 12 months.
Right. Right.
Like, and it rides a 200. These are the kinds of things we're looking for. Again, you can hit it once and then just kind of set it and forget it. Or if you want, like, keep an eye on it. And if it keeps presenting you with other setups, like, look, I can chart them out right here really quickly.
Yep, There's another one.
Here's one right here. Right. Like, you know, that's the best trades. And then, you know, here's a really big one that occurred over the last couple of years, right? Like, there's one. And then there's another one. Like, yeah, I trade Tesla a lot, right? Like, it just keeps giving you setups. You just keep hitting it.
Tell me, do you own a 2019 Model Y?
No, I don't.
You should have it parked in your driveway as a reminder.
Yeah, no, I have a 2022 S Plaid.
Oh, okay. So you do drive a Tesla.
Yeah, I do.
Good man. Okay. So. Awesome.
But yes. So are there any ones that you had questions on, any charts you wanted to look at or whatever? So let's make sure we get to those.
Let's bring up CAT.
Ooh, yeah. CAT. I already like it. So you want to look at it currently, or is there a point in time?
I wanted to see what you had for currently and to see how that compares to what.
So, I mean, right off the bat, something like, you know, maybe there, and then I'd do there. So this would be one where there's not a clear price support, but it's more of a zone, right? Like, so we had the last 2 days. Okay. That's 1 week. So that's really one touch.
Yeah.
Okay. The week before, there's one, and then there's one here. Okay.
Right.
And then there's not really anything from below.
No.
Right. So it's kind of a zone.
Zone it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a zone from, say, 670 to 656. And look, this is a $700 stock. So, like, that's really only like one. That's really still like a 1%, 1.5% zone.
Right.
But, like, yeah, this is your price support zone.
As long as it turns here
yeah.
and starts to go back up. Otherwise, it's just going to make a lower low.
Yeah. And so ideally what you'd want to see is to validate this, price would touch. So price could come down to the bottom of this zone, but you want to see a wick. You want to see price come down here and then like get bought up. You don't want to see like a candle close down in this zone. That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's that. So in terms of lows, okay, here was a low on 9 March. And then this week, okay, that looks like a higher low. It's looking like that could be one. So then we look for our trend line. Well, we have to go here.
Yeah.
So that's a shallow trend line.
Right.
Then so let's look for our highs. So, you know, here's a high, right? That's all-time highs there. Lower high right there. And so then we had a lot to choose from here. So when we have a lot to choose from, I want to go with the one with the biggest wick first. So here, this has our biggest wick.
That's the one I would do. Yeah.
And then, okay, where's another strong wick? Let's start that working off. Down. I'd probably go here. And I like that because we have a couple of other candles that got close to that level. And then look, we go over here on the other side. Yeah, this is probably a level 710. Institutions are interested here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe right here, again, because there are a couple of points of interest here.
Right.
So that's how I would chart it. So, and then it's above the 200 day, right? Like the 200 is way down here.
Okay, yeah.
So that's, you don't have to worry about that. So, you know, what would I need to see to take an entry here? So one, market sentiment, we have to bring that up. Have to bring up the current market climate, right? Like war in Iran, oil is probably going to, like, so oil is already $170 a barrel outside of the US, right? Like we're burning our SPR to keep price down, but we only have enough oil to do that for like the rest of the month. And then oil will hit $150 to $175 in the US. So crude, Brent crude and light sweet crude will hit $175. So that's especially important because this is Caterpillar, right? Like, so they are industrial equipment, and things like that. They are very dependent upon spending around infrastructure. Well, when oil goes high, inflation goes up, that spending's going to go away. So this is a name that is sensitive to that. Like we have to be aware of that when you have a chart that is not great. It's good, but it's not great. And the current environment says you want to hit great setups only. So in that case, I wouldn't even take this trade. Like I just skip it.
That's awesome. I'm glad I brought this one up.
Yeah. Just skip it. It's a good one to study. You can, still look at the levels where, where would you in a better market look at it. So let's say it is a better market. If we cleared Friday's high, I would say that does look like a trend reversal. It's not obvious, but it looks like, okay, now we're making higher highs and higher lows. We're above the 200 day. So I would say, okay, you could take a starter size position here, no more than 3%, and your risk would be down here. So your risk is pretty tight. You're entering at 693. You're risking let's call it 670. So again, $20 on a $700 stock, like that's a fairly small risk. Then, maybe you could add a little bit each time it made a higher high, a tiny amount in a ideal world. So you'd get a little run up here, maybe by April to this trend line, and it comes back and would retest kind of your entry. So maybe makes a higher low here and then rips. And then you could add full size.
Right.
But yeah, for right now, no, you don't touch this.
Yep. I'm glad I brought that one up. That's a good one.
Yep.
Because it brought the other part, right? That the technicals could line up, but you need to think of the world and what's going on.
Yeah.
And how it's going to affect that stock. Yeah.
Specifically when we just lost the 200-day moving average on the indexes.
Yeah.
Once this happens, it's a different game. If we're above the 200-day, you can take stuff. You can be a little more risky. But this is the institutional big button buy and sell. Below this, institutions stop cherry picking, like, oh, maybe buy this one and sell that one. Below the 200-day, they just say sell. It's the Jim Cramer just sell, 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 sell.
Right.
And that's why the day we crossed the 200 day, what was the volume? Higher than it's been in months. Yeah. You got to be aware of that as a trader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that one. I like the context that led down. Cool. Absolutely.
So any others? We can get into some other stuff.
Nope, we can get into some other stuff.
The next piece is, okay, how does this actually work? How does this play out? How do you automate it? Let's look at Enphase. So this is one we're watching right now for a potential trade. Yes, even in this market climate. So Enphase is a potential trade here. So really quickly, let's go through the charts. So here's a 200-day. We're above the 200. Cool.
Yep.
We have our trend line. So the most recent lowest high. Looking at the nice wicks here to give us a diagonal. So a potential entry would be a break of this diagonal.
Yep.
All right. We're already above the 200, so we can't enter there. We have, here's a low, 9 March. We move up, let's call this a higher low, around 41. It moves up and it comes back and holds that 41 area. Okay, cool. So that is a higher low. So this becomes our lowest, our highest lower high. It's hard to say. And that's where I have my alert. So the entry here would be 40, let's call it 46.50. So if you're, working a full-time job or you're just not able to be at the computer all day, how would I automate this trade? So I have an alert set here at 46, and it's actually a little below where the price would be. The price is 46.46. Cool. So I'd set my entries at like 46.50. Okay. I want to buy at 46.50. I have an alert here to basically tell me, hey, price is getting close to your level, right? Like it's getting close to where you might take an entry. So now I'm aware of it, right? So basically I'd be watching this. If I get that alert, I'm watching during the day, just kind of paying attention to it, see if we did get a fill. And then at the end of the day, I'm checking and see, okay, did I actually get a fill on this position? If I did, and we look at it, okay, and it's closing above this level, that confirms we're in the trade. And now we're going to, move our stop back down. But if, let's say, you take you get the alert, you check on your position. Okay, cool. We bought some at, 11:15. Now you need to set another alert during the day at whatever the low price is for the day. And it's kind of the reverse, right? Like, and you can maybe even go ahead and set a sell order there. Go ahead and set up a stop loss. So that if it hits that level on the downside, you would get out. And so let's look at if that would have happened, and it would have.
Yeah.
Right. So luckily I wasn't paying attention to this, but so here was our level and you would have took an entry at 46.46. It cleared it. And where was the low of day? Right down here, 44.25. So you would have stopped out. If you had been watching this on Friday, you would have took an entry 46.50 and you would have stopped out at 44.20-ish. It made a new low going into the end of the day. So that sucks, but that's there to protect you in case something happens, because this was a pretty big reversal intraday. And look at what happened on the 5-minute chart.
All those
rejection,
wicks.
Rejection, rejection, like all of these rejection candles. Yeah, this was never going to hold. So, but yeah, that's how you would play it. And so, you could still use that level. Like if you wanted to, like you got burned, you wanted to try this trade again, you could. Okay. But again, you would not have taken a full size because it didn't meet all 5 criteria. So that helps the pain of the stop loss, right? Like your stop loss was a lot smaller. It wasn't the full size. It wasn't the full risk spread. You weren't in a full size position. Okay. So that's how it would work out. Hopefully that makes sense. And then last piece there is, let's say it had held above this level. Where would you have moved your stop to at the end of the day? 41.80. Okay. Now you're in the trade. Cool. This becomes your stop.
Yeah.
And then if it breaks the diagonal, you can maybe add a little more. Honestly, right now in this market, I wouldn't add. Even if it broke the diagonal, I'd just stay right there. Like 2% size right now, that's plenty. Like 2.5% is more than enough size right now.
And so if this makes now another higher low, then you can use this wick, the break of this wick, which coincidentally could line up with that trend line even.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could try it again.
Yeah. That would be, if it moves up and tests this level and then makes a higher low, that's better because now you have a higher stop, right? Like now your stop has moved up. Yeah. And if we were going to see one, I would say the higher low would be somewhere around this trend line. So maybe it comes up and see how I just drew a level between the higher lows.
Yeah.
you know, it would maybe be somewhere up in here, like 45. That would be pretty nice if it came and kind of held this trend line, came back to like 45 and then broke. That'd be really nice because your risk is a lot smaller there.
So, right. Yep.
But yeah, that's how we would automate that. Let's look at another one here. Lemonade. So this is a really good one. So again, chart it real quick. So here's our price support, 49, yep. Higher low, 52. There's the 200-day. Okay, so in this case, the 200-day is the highest of 200-day higher lows and price support. So this would be your stop right here, the 200-day, okay. Not your higher lows, your price support, because it's the highest one. And so we want the tightest risk possible.
Right.
Okay. And there's a nice little gap here that you could use too. So we have the diagonal here. All right. So there's a diagonal. Yeah. Here's our recent highest, our recent lowest lower high.
Yeah.
Right there. So where would our entry be? I have the alert right here. Basically Friday's high. Yeah.
I would have said close above 67, 85, but then you're also getting the trend line. So as soon as you get above the trend line, then you can go, right?
Either one. Okay. But I would say you could start a position here.
Okay.
Start a position here above 67, 8. Yeah. That confirms. Yeah. We've broken the trend line. We're moving out. This looks really good. And then your stop would be right here. We can actually move this down, make sure we get the bottom of that candle. Your stop would be $62. Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, intraday, you set an alert here. And your entry would be basically $66. You put some buy orders at 66. Okay, it triggers it. Cool. You know, you check your phone. All right, I'm in the position. Set a new alert. Set your stops at low of day. As long as it holds, you're in the trade. And then above 67, let's call it $68. Okay, now you add full size. So where do you take profits? So we look at the big levels on the chart.
I would say 76.
Yeah, 75, 76. That works.
Yeah.
Up here, interaction with the trend line.
94.
90. Yeah. And then, you know, not all-time highs, but most recent high, basically $100. This is a big gap between 75 and 93 to not be taking profits. Mm-hmm. So I might pick just go halfway in between, you know, 75, 94, so like 85. I think I might go like somewhere in here.
And if you look to the left, there's those wicks.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So yeah, I'd take profit 1, 2, 3 here. So, you know, sell a quarter, you know, maybe 10% here and then 15% once we get to 100. And then we're down to runners.
Right.
And so at runners, you know, we were using the 200-day. That's probably going to be my stop. I'm just going to let it ride and see how it goes. Okay. And again, your profit taking orders, automate those. Just, you know, create a bracket order. So it's like you either sell, you know, so basically you sell whatever happens first, either 75 or your stop of 62. And then same thing here. You either sell at 85 or 62. And that way you don't have to be there. You don't have to be paying attention to it. You don't have to be watching it. Just let it happen. So yeah, does that all make sense how you would do the profit orders there?
That's awesome. And I think that pretty well covers the exit. We know where our stops have to go. The take profits are easy. You just take the next few highs and
And so one thing to point out is, let's say you're looking at like Kroger. So Kroger's hitting all-time highs.
Yeah.
So we're going to price discovery mode. So where do you take profits on price discovery? So like this, Kroger's a good one to watch this week. You know, look at Kroger since, you know, February, right? Like it had a pattern, it broke, earnings, it ripped. Gave you a consolidation, it ripped. And then, you know, the war's been going on since March and Kroger's up, not a lot, but 10%.
Yeah.
It's a grocery store. Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So with all-time high breaks, you really like these. Those, it's a little more feel. You know, some people use Fibonacci's to, you know, look at like the 68% extension.
Yeah.
You could do that based on this pattern here, right? Like, and this is why I bring this up. I mean, your entry would be 74. You're playing to 76. Yippee. Like $2. Yeah. So yeah. One, definitely take some profit at the top of the pattern. Mm-hmm. Okay, definitely take a little bit of profit here. Past that, so you have two options here. You could just say, hey, you know, I'm going to use like every 10%. So like if it moves 10%, I'll take profit. If it moves another 10%, I'll take profit. So do that, have that plan and do that. Or you go by the chart and you basically look for lower lows. So if the price moves up and it's still making higher lows, you ride the trade, let it go. So this is a good example of Kroger. Let's say you entered off the 200-day. It made a low. Is this a higher low or a lower low? Well, that's a higher low. No profit taken. It moves up. It makes another low. Is this a higher low? Yes. Okay, cool. But basically, so even right now, if it broke this level, you would sell because now we're making lower lows and you'd exit like almost the whole trade. So that's right. How I would look at something doing price discovery. Would be going that way. You're using lower lows. I mean, you know, come up with a system, whatever works for you. I don't like using moving averages because they're a derivative of price, right? Like there are only three attributes to a stock. It's the price, the volume, and time. Mm-hmm. Every other indicator is some combination or derivative of price, volume, and time. So like, why not just use price, volume, and time? Mm-hmm. Everything else is just a derivative, which means it has inherently less information. Because it's aggregating some form of information, you're losing it. So that's just me.
That's cool. Theory.
One other thing, I want to look at some downside charts. So SMCI, it's the same thing to the downside. So like, say you're looking at short setups, just flip the rules in reverse. You want to see something below the 200-day, not above it.
Right.
Right? Trend line, same thing. We're looking for diagonals. Except your diagonal is, instead of making it off of lower highs, you're making it off of higher lows.
Yeah.
You could do a pennant here. So it's kind of forming a tight little pattern. Where would your entry be? You want a close below your most recent higher low. Okay. Instead of a higher high for your entry, you're using a lower low for your entry. Yeah. And ideally, it breaks the trend line to the downside. Okay.
Right.
So in this case, it opened below the trend line. That's where our entry was. Mm-hmm. And when we took that entry, the stop was the previous day's high.
Right.
It never it got close. It tested it. In this case, what ended up causing this reaction was more news that SMCI is like breaking the law. They're doing some more illegal stuff. You know, like last time it had a big sell-off, they were cooking the books basically.
Right.
It was 2025, I think. They were basically, you know, misrepresenting revenue and everything. They were lying. And then what do you know? A company that has a history of criminal activity has more criminal activity. So
they always have it. They just get exposed.
Yeah. Criminals tend to do criminal things. So,
yeah.
But yeah, the point is, to the downside, it works the same way. The five rules work the same way to the downside.
Right.
And they also can work the same on like the hour chart. The 5-minute chart, right? Like it's the same rules, higher lows, higher highs, a trend line, and then price support, right? Like, so that's why I use these rules. They can work on any time frame, up, down. Let's look at Ethereum. It works on Ethereum, works on crypto. So that chart's a little messy. Let's jump over to Bitcoin. It's a little cleaner. So Bitcoin, we're looking at a reversal here because it's below the 200-day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's our higher lows, higher lows, higher lows. Okay. A level of price support is up here. 65,000 basically is a price support.
Yeah.
So where would our most recent higher high be? We're on Bitcoin. It would have been right here, like 71,000. Okay. So anything, a close above 71 and you would have taken an entry. So right here, that's 4 March. Right? That would be your entry.
Right.
And then if you look at Ethereum, 4 March. Right there.
Right.
So there's your entry. And then it moves up. And like you mentioned earlier, it comes back and retests it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's holding that level. Here's the thing with crypto and why I bring this up. Crypto moves on the weekends, but you can't trust the weekend price action. Because I mean, I don't even need to tell you the days. Look on the chart. What 2 days of the weekend? Right there. Right there. Right there, the low volume days. So you got to be careful with crypto if you're charting it and trying to play it. You can't go by weekend price action. You just can't, because institutions are not buying and selling on the weekends. So, but besides that, the same rules apply. You can look up Solana or, you know, any other crypto, like it works. But I will caution this, these rules are built around institutional price action. So, you know, the more fringe you get with like crypto names, and then if you get into stocks like Poet, for example. So Poet's a small cap stock, very little institutional price action here. You can chart it, you can play it. But these rules are built on the premise of we're trading around institutional price action. So if it's something and you're looking at playing a stock and you're not sure about it, check it real quick and see like, hey, are there institutional shareholders here? If they're not, you know, it's going to be very difficult to do technical analysis, because technical analysis is built on institutional buying and selling. And if there's no institutional buying or selling, I mean, maybe it'll work, but I would say the odds are against you. But once institutions start coming in, they start to modulate the volatility swings. And that's, you know, we've seen that with Bitcoin and crypto the last few years, as more institutions have started stepping in and holding shares. It's not, it's still volatile as hell, but it's not like it was, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. So that's the one note I would say there. But, you know, the five rules will work as long as there's institutional buying patterns. And, you know, if you look at something like Apple, which is almost 100% institution owned, it charts really, really well, because institutions buy and sell this. Like, it moves pretty much like an index. It's beta is like
basically
one.
Is the index.
It's basically the index. Yeah. In Apple, Microsoft, NVIDIA still has a little bit of a beta, even though it's like 8% of the market. But yeah, those names like that, yeah, they pretty much move. You know, Kroger is another one. Like, it pretty much moves with the indexes, even though it's an alpha stock. It doesn't have a beta. It actually has a beta less than one. Coca-Cola is one. Like, it charts really well because it's pretty much all institutional ownership. And that's why I like trading names like this. Caterpillar is a good example. Like, it's heavily institutional owned, right? Like, you're not going to see it on, like, you know, the Reddit threads and FinTwit and shit like that.
Right.
Like, it's not like Robinhood, you know, which has a lot of, you know, a lot of the more retail trader hype behind it. SoFi is a good example, right? Like, there's institutional ownership, but there's a heavy retail presence here. And that's why the charting can be a little sloppy. The less institutional ownership you have, the more variance and the more kind of gray areas you have. Whereas when the institutional presence is high, it tends to move a little cleaner. So,
gotcha.
Does that make sense? Other questions and stuff you might have? Have I confused you with anything?
No. This has been a good part two after part one to get the rules. I spent the week going through them. I charted, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 different tickers. And then to go back through, this has been good. I don't have any questions, but I think we can build off of this for sure.
All right.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances. So much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
That was a lot of information to cover, so thank you if you're still with us. You know, you deserve a thumbs up for your attention span. You can hit the icon at the bottom to collect there. If you want to go deeper and see how Cam applies this in real time, you can check out his Discord swing trading community, The Construct. The link is in the show notes below. Next time, they should be discussing screeners and building a watch list. So while you're waiting for that, practice charting your favorite tickers, and we'll see you all then. This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only. does not constitute financial or investment advice and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.